This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown coming to you on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Let's check in with one of our community reporters. Elizabeth Moeller joins us now with news from the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area. Hey, Elizabeth, how are you?
Dave, I'm loving those beats you got going on. I'm just keeping me on my toes. Every month, a new beat.
Even though it's fall, we're still trying to get some of those summer vibes here on the show. Elizabeth, like many Canadians, about 61% of eligible voters, you voted last week in the election. So talk about your experience voting from an accessibility perspective.
Well, I think first I would say that I was very fortunate because I got to vote in my lobby, and that was not the case for a lot of voters with disabilities that I've heard from. So it was nice. I got to walk down the elevator and get into a nice long lineup. And we heard a lot about lineups during the election. In fact, I know some people that couldn't even vote. The lineups were too long. They weren't able to stand due to their disability. But I was quite fortunate. I actually got asked if I wanted to move to the front of the line, and I did. And then upon presenting my voting card, I was presented with some options. Did I want to have a Braille overlay? Did I want to have somebody come in with me? And actually, I opted to have somebody come in with me, and they had two people come in, I guess to make sure that my ballot wasn't going to get spoiled, which is a good thing.
Yep.
So it was in a very private space, physically distanced due to COVID, which was great. And then I started to talk to the individuals at the voting station about other options for voting. And I didn't know this, Dave, maybe you did, but if you have a disability, you can arrange prior to voting day to have somebody come to your home from Elections Canada and help you vote right at your home.
I did not know about that.
I did not either. So what they'll do is you call and they'll send two people, a scrutineer and someone to assist you. So this is great for people that can't get out of their home, but maybe can't fill out the print ballot and mail in, because if you don't fill it out correctly, it's a spoiled ballot. I also found out that in hospitals, they have people that will come around and assist you to vote if, heaven forbid, you're in the hospital. So there's some great options, as well as advance polls. And I'm a big advocate of those. It tends to be quieter. You can vote ahead of election day, get that out of the way, as well as, of course, the mail-in ballot, where you send in a ballot and then you fill in your information. But I think this election was a bit tricky. We didn't have all of our usual polls open, so I was hearing from people longer lineups, crowds, which with COVID, not so great. People had to travel further, and there was some confusion as to where their electoral poll was.
Yeah, it blew my mind when I found out they were doing less polls during a pandemic election. I thought to myself, well, okay, maybe we should do more to keep more people away from each other and have smaller crowds. I can't imagine.
They didn't ask us, though, Dave. They didn't ask us.
Yeah, I know. Dave Brown Consulting. The phones were quiet, even though we were trying to improve democracy through and through. But Elizabeth, it does sound like your experience was a good one overall.
It was a good one. And I think, you know, I learned a few things along the way about how I might vote in the future. And I think one thing I didn't know, because I went on to Elections Canada, is you can look up where your closest polling station is. And they have an accessibility map. So they'll tell you, is this wheelchair accessible? What is the length of the hallway to get in, the doors? What's the lighting like? It'll actually break down the bus route. So how do you get there? And if in fact your poll is not accessible, it'll show you where closest accessible polling station is. So I didn't know about that map. You punch in your postal code, boom, boom, bang. It'll show you all that information right there.
Yeah, it's still a bit of a mixed bag in regards to accessibility. Again,
sure is.
Like, it blows my mind they can have an inaccessible polling station. But, you know, I suppose progress is not always linear and we don't always get it all accomplished at once. But I would love to see something in the Accessible Canada Act that says, hey, let's make voting entirely accessible. You know, that would be nice.
Absolutely.
Elizabeth, let's jump over here to a different topic, which is proof of vaccination, something that we're seeing more and more popping up in provinces across the country. And you've started to use an app at your post-secondary school. So what's that experience been like?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe, Dave, you've noticed as you go out to eat now in the city of proof of vaccination, you're looking madly on your phone for that PDF. Where is it? Do I bring it? Do I have it? But some post-secondary institutions are actually doing something now where there's an app. So you can actually upload your PDF to this app and you get a QR code. And so when you go into buildings, you actually scan this QR code and it tracks you. So it knows what buildings you've been to, kind of a little black mirror. But nonetheless, it is a little bit problematic because you have to know where to scan the QR code. Mm-hmm. So you get this code on your phone and you go, where do I scan it? And if there's somebody at the front of the building to help you, awesome. But if there's not, it's a bit of a problem. And I think it's also going to be a problem for folks that don't have smartphones or folks that don't have the ability to use a smartphone. So I do worry about that. I did come across this website I wanted to share, and it's actually enables you to upload your PDF in an accessible way to your iPhone wallet. So then you would just open up your wallet, your PDF's there, and you'd show that. Because I don't know about you, Dave, I'm digging around on my phone, I'm trying to find where I put it, and everybody's waiting behind me and grumbling. So this website is great. I will send it out. I didn't quite get it into the show notes, but I will send that out to Dave today so folks can see how you would do that.
Yeah, we talked to Mark Aflalo, one of our tech contributors, about that a few weeks ago, and we have seen some news articles pop up about some of those apps. Elizabeth, I'll share you my little trick was that I downloaded my two PDFs from the province of Ontario. And what I did is I actually built a folder onto one of my main screens on my phone. So now for me, it's just two taps away. I know where that main folder is on my main screen. Bang, open that up, and both proofs of a vaccination are there. Of course, the province of Ontario is talking about rolling out their own app by October the 22nd. So we'll sort of monitor the progress on that one. Elizabeth, generally speaking, because you mentioned it before, what do you think some of the alternatives we could do here are for folks who, as you say, either don't have a smartphone or can't necessarily navigate a smartphone?
I think getting a card in the mail, like we have our health card, so getting a card or a sticker on your health card, you just pop open your wallet, show your health card. Another card. But also, I wonder about even like a little bracelet, like you have the medical alerts. That could be something.
Yeah.
Or the old, those yellow cards, Dave, we used to get them back in public school with all our stations on them, something like that. But I just worry always when I think about inclusive design that it has to be inclusive for everybody, and lots of folks don't have, can't afford, can't use a smartphone, and QR codes are the bane of my existence.
Yeah, they can be a little bit of a tricky bag. There's no doubt about that one, especially when it then takes you to a website that's inaccessible. It's like, oh, thanks, guys.
That's my favorite.
Thank you for sending me to this website, which doesn't recognize my inverted colors for text and reading purposes. Thanks, guys. Hey, Elizabeth, speaking of accessibility and design, another series of the A11Y Week TO is coming soon. So Accessibility Week TO, when does this officially get started?
This is going to get started on October 20th, so stay tuned. That is a Wednesday this year, and it's a week of really great programming. So normally we would do this in person. There's three streams this year, and I am really excited about one of them, the accessible gaming stream. So that's going to be on the 23rd, and that is all about how to make accessible games if you're a gamer, or maybe you just want to come and learn about some accessible games. I don't know about you, how many times I've tried to play Among Us, which is now a really popular game. Can't play it with my screen reader. So I think I'm going to check that one out just to see like what accessible games, which we're doing more of with COVID, we're doing things online, are out there. But there's also one that's accessibility in the real world. And I think that's going to be great looking at the physical environment. So we were talking about polling stations earlier, but what does an inclusive versus universal design approach look like? What physical barriers do we need to think about when we're building new spaces and perhaps retrofitting old spaces? And then the third stream is all about digital accessibility. So this is your WCAG 3.0. I can't believe they're up to that already. I remember when 2.0 came out, and looking at how to make sure websites are accessible. And I think that this is really timely given our world right now, everything we're dealing with vaccine passports and just the pandemic, how it's really shifted us all online. So it's October 20th. It starts, it runs for a week. You can get your tickets. Those web links are going to be in the show notes, and I encourage you to check it out. And Dave, maybe next time I'll be able to talk about an accessible game or two.
Oh yeah. So here we go. I love it when we do the preview followed by the review. Yes,
so there you go.
So if folks want to learn more, they can visit a11yto.com, a11yto.com. Hey, Elizabeth, thank you for making time for us today. We appreciate it. And hopefully we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks with a review of this Accessibility Week.
Vaccine, Dave.
That too. Yeah, absolutely. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.